WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon-coming king awaits. This is a WATB disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of We Are the Bride Ministries, We Are the Bride Radio, or We Are the Bride Television. Thank you.
Welcome, everyone, to America Arise and Build. And we are in the Word of God tonight, the exciting Word of God. And we see here in the book of Nehemiah, the book of Ezra, the relevancy to the times and the seasons that we live in right now in the United States and North America and other places in the world as well. But our focus is on America. Even though I'm not an American citizen, I'm a Canadian citizen. I'm a missionary evangelist in Colombia, South America. That's where I am right now. We work at the Guambiano and the Payas Indians here. I want to thank Dr. June Knight for this opportunity to share the gospel with you in the United States through WATB Radio tonight. It's a real honor, and it's a real privilege to be able to share with you. Jesus said, those things that I've shown you in secret, shout it from the rooftops, and I can't think of anything better than the rooftop of the world through radio and television and internet and these avenues of communication. Every avenue of communication and every avenue of transportation, that's been my heart for many, many, many years. My honor to share the Word of God, the love of God. The Bible says that we love Him because He first loved us. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's coming again. He's preparing His bride, and He's lighting a fire on the inside of us. And the awakening that I see happening in the United States going back over the last couple of years now, beginning with the presidential race that started last year in 2016, and that's when the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about Donald Trump becoming the next president of the United States. And at first, I didn't really take it very seriously because I seen him more as a television personality, that kind of a person, than I did taking him very seriously concerning, running a nation or, leading a nation, that kind of thing. But then the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about the Cyrus anointing. And that's when I began to really pay attention to what the Holy Spirit was saying, the Cyrus anointing, because Cyrus of old was not Jewish. And so he was an outsider. And that's how I felt about Donald Trump initially, is that, I didn't think he was a Christian, I never seen him as, I never recognized him as that. And so I seen him as kind of like an outsider in that sense. But when he began to speak to me about Cyrus, then I became very attentive to what the Holy Spirit was saying. And he said, Cyrus, my anointed. God called Cyrus His anointed. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I have called Donald Trump. I have anointed him. He is my modern-day Cyrus to bring the United States of America back onto its biblical foundation and deliver it out of the bondage of secular humanism, atheism, political correctness. That is one of the devil's greatest weapons in our culture for the past, many decades now. Political correctness. And if you've heard Donald Trump speak, especially in his pre campaign speeches before the election, he was 100% against political correctness and speaking out against it. And I thought, this is God's anointed, this for sure. And I really began to really take a hold of the things that he was saying and the love that he had for his country. And so here we go back now to Isaiah chapter 45. And we see there God calls Cyrus, his anointed, 150 years before he was born. And for it, you know, us as Christians, we should take heart when we understand these things, that God, when he speaks a promise, if he's given you a promise, it will surely come to pass. It may not happen in your time frame, but it will surely come to pass. And we can take heart when we understand the historical background of this scripture and speaking, and he calls Cyrus by name 150 years before he's born, and he says, this is the man that I have anointed, I have called, you could say even from his mother's womb, or before he was even conceived in his mother's womb, and he's the one that I will use to bring Israel back out of captivity and bring them back into the land of their covenant promise. It's really, really exciting. And so I think that these are really exciting times. Now, when the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about this, I began to realize the significance and the importance of the election that took place last year in the United States. You know, if Donald Trump wouldn't have got elected as president, and let's just say that Hillary Clinton would have got elected and continued that downward spiral from the Obama administration, it would have just been a continuation of that. In this secular humanism, this socialistic idea, this communistic idea, this New World Order mandate, dictatorship, and tyranny, the United States would have been finished. And this is what the Holy Spirit really began to speak to me about, that if the United States goes down, we are all going down. Canada, Colombia, Europe, the rest of the world, we're going to go down because the United States has been a light to the nations for many, many years, decades and decades and decades. Even in its backslidden state, the United States was still sending out the gospel and the light to the nations. And so God is calling the nation back to righteousness, truth, and justice, honor, and integrity. And that's what I see in Donald Trump. He is a man that loves America. He loves the country. He loves the people of America. And I've heard him say many times in his speeches, America has been good to me and my family, and I want to return all I can. I want to be good. I want to return that good and do what I can to be a blessing back to the nation. And that's what he's doing. That's what he's all about. He's serving free of charge. He does not receive the income that is set aside for the President of the United States, and he donates that to charity. He's a man after God's own heart, just like David, a man after God's own heart. And he was not the man that I would have chosen or I would have even suspected that God had his hand on, but it's becoming more and more evident every single day. The more that he gets attacked by the mainstream news media, by the progressive liberal left, the more that he gets assaulted, death threats, impeachment threats and all the rest of it, the more he prospers, and the more it seems that the nation is prospering economically and things are turning around with millions of new jobs at an unprecedented rate that the United States hasn't seen in literally decades. Things are happening. Now, here's one more thing I'd like to say. Just before we get into the area of the anointing, I wanted to describe that a little bit fuller, in a fuller measure here tonight, is that when you fight against God's anointed, you're not fighting against that person. You're fighting against the anointing. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to zero in on that a little bit more tonight. But before we do that, let's turn to the book of Isaiah, and I've been quoting this, but now let's read it, okay? And we're going to go to start in Isaiah chapter 44, and we want to read verse 28, who says of Cyrus. Now remember, this prophetic word is coming 150 years before Cyrus is born. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. Now Just think of Donald Trump right now. This is in the political arena. This is not in what we'd call the ecclesiastical arena. That's Ezra, the rebuilding of the temple. Nehemiah represents the building of the outer wall, or you could say the political part, that outer part. And so Cyrus represents the political arena. And God says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, and we could say saying to the United States of America, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. Praise God. So he's talking about the restoration. Now here's something else that we want to keep in mind tonight, is that this prophetic word is coming 150 years before Cyrus is born, before this prophetic word is going to be manifest, which means that Israel had not yet went into captivity. They were in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. So 70 or 80 years even before this, God is prophesying before they even go into captivity. This is amazing. I find this just amazing, and I think, you know, if God can do this, if he's so sovereign that he can prophesy something literally hundreds or even thousands of years ahead of time, and it comes to pass exactly like he's spoken through his prophets, how much more confidence should I have in my Creator when he gives me a promise? When I see that God is faithful to his word. Jesus said that even though heaven and earth pass away, not one word, not one jot, not one tittle, not one word that I speak to you will pass away. These are eternal words. When God speaks a promise, it is a covenant. When we come into covenant with God, God is a covenant-keeping God. When God gives us a promise and we respond, there's always an if. There's always an if there. For example, even in tithes and offerings, for example, God says, if you bring all your tithe into the storehouse, that's a covenant. See, there's a covenant. He says, I will open the windows of heaven, and I will pour you out a blessing. He says, test me, try me in this. And so what is the covenant? God says, if you will do this, that's my part, if I will respond in faith to that directive, to that promise, then God says, here's what I will do. And so there's an if, there's a condition. But if I fulfill that condition, then I come into covenant with a covenant-keeping God. Praise God. This is so exciting and so important that we get a hold of this. And so he says about Cyrus in chapter 45 now, and verse 1, thus says the Lord to his anointed. There it is. That's the word that we're going to discuss a little bit fuller right after we come back from the break here in just a couple of minutes. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. Well, how about the bars of iron of secular humanism and atheism and Satanism and socialism that has invaded our nation? And false gospels like Islam that declares God has no son. How about breaking those gates of iron? I will give you the treasures of darkness. How about the souls of men? How about the soul of a nation? I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel, for Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. That's a prophetic word concerning Cyrus. Praise God. What an exciting word. Cyrus, my anointed. Right after the break, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes, and we're going to pick it up right there on the anointing. Jesus is Lord.
Hello, bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. dreams come true in our house? Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Hello, Bride. This is Dr. June Knight with We Are the Bride Ministries. We would like to invite you to watch other shows on WATB Radio, which you can find at www.watbradio.com. We are also on Facebook and Twitter at WATB Radio. We are also on iTunes at WATB Radio. We have other shows on the radio called Bride Time Live, and that's where I interview ministers all over the world. Hear their journey of what God did to take them from nothing and make them into something. And then they preach. They have a few minutes to preach. Then we have the Clarion Call Show. This show exposes what the devil is doing in the church and in the nation. It is education to the bride of false moving in our nation so that we can know the truth. Then we have The Watchman with Pastor Jeff. The Watchman talks about eschatology and the end of times. So join us, Bride, at WATBRadio.com. We're also on Blog Talk Radio at WATB Radio. God bless you.
We're back and we're on the anointing. We're talking about the rebuilding of America, and it starts with you and I. The rebuilding of a nation is made up of people, and we are the people. We are the people of God. God has called us. He has anointed us and appointed us, even as Cyrus of old. Donald Trump, the President of the United States of America, has that Cyrus anointing, but we have also been called, and we have been chosen, and the anointing. That's what we're going to talk about now as we come into the second part of our program this evening, is the anointing. And because, you know, in Christian circles, many times we just assume that everybody knows our terminology, and because we get so used to talking about the anointing, born again, being saved, miracles, signs, wonders, and all this kind of thing, and so we just assume everybody understands this. But I want to explain the anointing a little bit fuller today so that we can understand what it's all about. And I'm going to read, I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm going to read some from Smith's Bible Dictionary. They have a very good definition and understanding of the anointing. And that's what I want to I want to zero in on a little bit tonight, just for a few minutes. In the Old Testament, prophets, priests, and kings were anointed. And what they would do is that, for example, they would pour oil on their head. And that oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit, as we're going to discover as we come into the New Testament. And so they would anoint them. For example, a prophet, for example, would be anointed, and they were called, like, they were like recognized as messiahs or the anointed. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 22, and Psalms 105, verse 15. Then also priests were anointed to their offices. They were set apart for that particular, they were anointed, and we also recognize they were anointed not only with oil, with the laying on of hands, but anointed by the Holy Spirit, so that they were anointed to fulfill that high and that holy, that priestly calling. Kings also were anointed. They were divinely appointed. It would be like a ceremony or an inauguration of the Jewish kings in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 16, chapter 10, verse 1, and so on. The rite was sometimes performed more than once. David was anointed on three different occasions. And also objects, for example, you know, the furniture that they would have been using in the temple or in the tabernacle in the wilderness, they would have been anointed and set apart for holy service. So that's what that signifies. That anointing, it signifies being set apart for some significant or some spiritual or holy purpose, some kingdom purpose, the anointing. Also, when we come into the New Testament, and we see in the book of James, for example, to anoint that one that is sick with oil, and he will recover. James chapter 5, verse 14, and also the apostles in the four Gospels in Mark chapter 6, verse 13, they anointed with oil for the recovering of the sick. And if you are part of a charismatic church or charismatic circles or churches that preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you're familiar with all these things. These are things that we're all familiar with. But if you're not in that kind of a setting, a church setting, then you may not be that familiar with some of this terminology. In the Old Testament, a deliverer is promised under the title of Messiah or anointed. That's what Jesus means. The Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah. That's what that means. Psalms chapter 2, verse 2. Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 and 26. And the nature of his anointing is described to be spiritual with the Holy Ghost. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. And you know, that's a direct prophetic word. Again, hundreds of years before Jesus was conceived, hundreds of years before he was born, Isaiah is prophesying by the Spirit of God about that coming anointed one who would be Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, in the New Testament, Jesus of Nazareth is shown to be the Messiah or Christ or the anointed one of the Old Testament. Praise God. Excuse me. Luke chapter 4. Now, this is a scripture I love because the name of my ministry here, my radio ministry in Colombia, is Liberando a los Cautivos, liberating the captives, and it's based on Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And by the way, if you want to catch some of my messages, I have literally hundreds of short messages. I try to put 10-minute messages together every day from the book of Proverbs, and I have them on YouTube and also on Facebook. And so if you go to my YouTube channel, it's just Marvin Swanson, exactly how it sounds, Marvin Swanson, spelled with S-O-N on the end. And you can find literally hundreds of YouTube videos that I have uploaded there, and you can connect with me. And I really encourage you also, look, we need helpers here in Colombia. We need prayer support. I'm praying for the United States, but we also need prayer. And we need ministry partners. We need financial partners. I'm in the process right now of putting together a ministry center where we can do television and radio and all kinds of ministry here, right here where I live. And so I've already mapped out the plans for the building and all that kind of stuff. And so if you have a heart for that kind of a thing and for reaching native populations in Colombia and South America, please contact me on Facebook or YouTube or right here on WATB radio. So hey, let's continue. We got a few minutes left here. And so the historical fact of his being anointed with the Holy Ghost is asserted and it's recorded in John chapter 1, verse 32, John 1, 33, Acts chapter 4, verse 27, and 10, 38. I love that, Acts 10, 38, how Jesus went about doing good. He anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all those that are oppressed of the devil. And one of the greatest oppressions that's on North America, that's on the Christian world, or the once Christian world, is the oppression of secular humanism, political correctness, atheism, Satanism, socialism, communism, and false religions like Islam. It is a great, great oppression. And Jesus has come to set the captives free from all the confusion, all the delusion, all the deception, all the lies and the perversion and the corruption of the devil. Jesus has come to set us free. Praise God. That's what the anointing is all about. Jesus, who was anointed of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to the poor. Who are the poor? All those that don't know Jesus. All those that have rejected the gospel. I don't care how many billions of earthly wealth you have. If you don't know Jesus, you are bankrupt, you're poor, you're destitute, and you're on your way to hell. That is poverty. That is poverty. And so Jesus came to preach the gospel. That's what that anointing is for, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's for today. It wasn't just on Jesus. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high, that dunamos, that dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, that you may be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in the United States, all over the world. Praise God. That's what the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty all those that are bruised, open the blind eyes, all that has been blinded by secularism and political correctness and atheism and Satanism and all the other isms and evolutionism and the false gospel of global warming. My, my, the false gospel of Islam, to open the blind eyes and preach. Today is the day of salvation. That's what Arise America, Arise Build, that's what this is all about. It's getting back to that biblical foundation. It's getting back to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with boldness, Holy Spirit anointed boldness, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repentance. Turning from our sin, recognizing sin, calling sin what it is, calling what the Bible calls it, sin. Yes, sin. It must be repented of. You must turn from your sin. You must turn back to God. It's not enough to turn away from sin. You must turn to God. You must receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must be baptized. You must be baptized in water. You must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's all there. It's all available. The down payment of our inheritance is the Holy Spirit, the anointing that we can be bold witnesses for Christ, not only in our words, but also in our works, in our deeds, and in our lifestyle lived out in the power and the anointing and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Praise God. I didn't get that out of the Bible dictionary. That came out of my spirit that last few minutes. That, praise God. That is the anointing. That is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is available. It's for today. When we say America, arise and build, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be arising. We're not going to be building. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, we need that divine unction of the Holy Spirit. We need that divine authority, that power, because in our own human strength, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The rebuilding of the temple, that spiritual temple, the rebuilding of those spiritual walls that have been torn down, the spiritual walls of morality that have been torn down, the spiritual walls of justice and truth and integrity and honor that have been stripped and torn down, the walls of truth that have been torn down, they can only be rebuilt with the help, the authority and the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And it's all in the context of rebuilding the temple. He says, you have laid that foundation, and you will bring it to completion. Let me close on this note tonight, on the anointing. That good work that God has begun in you. First of all, let me ask this question. Are you born again of the Spirit of God? If not, today, if you hear his voice, humble yourself and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. Confessing him with your mouth, believing in your heart that God is raised from the dead, and you will be saved, and you will be at the beginning of your journey heavenward. If you are born again, God says, catch the fire. Catch that fire. Catch that anointing. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and become that bold witness, get on the firing, on the front line, the firing line, and be a bold witness for Christ. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life. And as the Apostle Paul says, being ever filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, filled with the Holy Spirit, that anointing that's going to help us to rebuild those spiritual walls that have been torn down in our own lives and in our community, in our churches, and in our nation. Make America godly again. Pastor June Knight, I love that motto, making America godly again. That's what it's all about. And so this anointing is for that. It is the sanctifying working of the Holy Spirit upon us as Christians who are priests and kings unto God. Jesus Christ was anointed prophet, priest, and king. And he passes that anointing on to us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, beginning with the born-again experience, and then the baptism in the Holy Spirit to be priests and kings unto the Lord and to be his light, the salt, right here in this earth where we live, and to be bold witnesses for Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's coming again. Are you ready? Praise God.